In the name of the one true living God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He made us and made all things visible and invisible. He upholds us and all things by the word of his power. Dear listeners, Jesus regularly taught in the temple in Jerusalem as well as in several local synagogues. He often used parables to teach. Let's consider one of those parables, the parable of the tenants. It is recorded in the 21st chapter of Matthew's Gospel, the first book of the New Testament. Jesus told it only 4 days before his crucifixion. The religious establishment were already very jealous and threatened by the fact that large crowds followed Jesus. His cleansing of the temple made them very angry, so they were now more determined to get rid of him. Jesus knew that they would design a concrete plan to kill him. Friends, Jesus' parable of the tenants tells us that an important person planted a very impressive vineyard. He fully equipped it for a good harvest of grapes. A wine press was added to turn the grapes into good wine. The vineyard was well protected by a fence and a watchtower. Jesus' parable says that the owner leased it to certain tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Dear listeners, the message of the parable was obviously addressed to the leaders of the Jewish people. Jesus was clearly pointing to God as the planter and rightful owner of the vineyard. The sets of servants sent by the owner to get the fruit referred to God's faithful prophets who suffered at the hands of the forefathers of those leaders. The divine messages of the prophets were ignored or rejected. Some prophets were even murdered. Earlier in the chapter, we read that Jesus reminded the religious leaders of their terrible attitude to the lost prophet, John the Baptizer, who came to prepare the way for Jesus. They rejected his message while despised people like the tax collectors and prostitutes humbly received his message and repented of their sins. Friends, the vineyard clearly referred to the nation of Israel, the Old Testament church. God established it, richly provided for it, and guided and protected it. Jesus' parable was leading to the fact that he is the beloved Son, the heir of the throne of King David. The prediction in Jesus' parable was clear. Within days, he would be detained to suffer and be crucified outside the city. After telling his parable, Jesus then applied to himself the words of Psalm 118. He said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." Friends, Jesus asked, "When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." That is not all. Jesus went further to speak of what happens to those who were called to be God's people. They were entrusted with the scriptures and the message of the prophets, revealing the divine plan to bless all nations. He said, "Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The message is clear. A different holy nation is established. It is not an ethnic nation. It includes the believers from all nations. It is established by God Himself. The Savior, Messiah, King, the precious Son of God, came to us. He joined our humanity as the Son of Man. He gave His life for His precious church. He purchased it as His holy body, set apart in the world to establish a kingdom of righteousness. It is a blessed new humanity from all families of the earth. It is His. He owns it and provides for it. He gathered it from all nations and perfects it by His Spirit. He feeds and nourishes it by His holy word. His true church in the world loves Him dearly and lives a holy life in Him. It is in the world, but not of the world. We read in the first chapter of John's Gospel about Jesus and about His universal church. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah.